question.
Maybe we could both ask Kai questions,
Khan suggested, and I realized he had moved to the door. Yes.
Should we get started?
He asked, waiting for me. I'm sorry, but I just need a minute, I said, and he quietly closed the door. He feels bonded to me, and he wants me to look into his eyes and hold his hands. No, wait, he didn't say that exactly. I reversed and played the conversation again and again, not sure how to interpret what he had told me. For the first time since I'd arrived, I was completely blank on how to proceed from here. My normally capable mind didn't have the answers, and no matter how much I rationally analyzed the situation, I only became more confused. It was like my heart and my head were dancing the worst tango in history, with both of them wanting to lead. Two dancers pulling in different directions, making for a bumpy dance. Forgetting about time and place, I processed my options over and over. The solution that my heart rooted for, my brain shut down immediately. The odds were too big, and a wrong move could be catastrophic. Pearl, are you coming? Christina's voice pulled me out of my deep thoughts. We've been waiting half an hour for you. What? Half an hour? Had I really been thinking for that long? Putting on a smile for show, I followed her into a beautiful sunroom where Kaya and Khan waited for me. I'm sorry, I said and took a seat. I got a little distracted. That's okay, Kaya assured me and I smiled. Lord Khan is turning out to be charming company. My eyes flew to him, and he looked mild and relaxed, just like he had the first time I'd met him. This man was a jigsaw puzzle with pieces of colorful flowers and dangerous cliffs in the same picture. He was a little bit of everything. Deep, dark water, clear blue sky. You never knew what piece you were going to pick up, and I doubted that I would ever see the full picture, even if I patiently put down piece after piece for years. Strangely enough, that thought excited me. For someone used to analyzing and making sense of most things very quickly, I found Khan unpredictable and fascinating.
Miss Janae, Khan said and smiled at her. What's the worst you've heard about us men of the North?
Kaya looked to me, a bit uncertain. I'm not sure I should mention that. I don't wish to upset anyone.
Please do, Khan said. I'm always highly entertained by the stories told about us.
Okay. Kaya looked away. There are stories that you rape women and keep women chained and naked in cages. She shook her head.
I never believed that you were truly cannibals or the one about the women being boiled alive for refusing to sleep with a man.
Her eyes went back to Khan.
It's not true, is it? Khan looked undisturbed by the nonsense. You would need a big pot to boil her whole, Khan said dryly. We only have small pots here.
Kaya smiled nervously. I know you hunt animals and you kill each other in tournaments to get women, she said softly. Christina told me that.
That much is true,
Khan confirmed.
We also curse and swear a lot. In fact, one of our favorite words is fuck.
She blinked as if it physically hurt her to hear that word.
Do you think you can live with that?
He asked. I won't allow my students to use that sort of profanity in school, she said quickly. He shrugged.
If we choose you and you get to influence 10 N-boys, then what would you like to teach them?
Emotional intelligence, she said quickly, clearly prepared for the question. He raised both brows.
And what is that exactly?
The skill set to control your emotions and not be ruled by them. Khan shook his head as if to say she was talking gibberish. You know that feeling when strong emotions wash over you? Kaya asked.
Yes.
The difference between someone who masters his or her emotions and someone who doesn't isn't how they feel, she explained. They both feel angry, upset, hurt, sad, or whatever comes at them. The difference is how they react. There are constructive ways and destructive ways.
Can you give me an example?
Sure. Kaya moved to the edge of her seat, and her eyes lit up with passion. Yesterday at school, Louisa,
who is one of my students, felt left out, and as you know, rejection creates pain here. She pointed to her chest. A group of Louise's friends were playing and had built a house from branches and sticks, and when she was told she couldn't be part of the game, she kicked their creation into pieces.
Okay.
Khan nodded like that made complete sense to him. Well, obviously that didn't make them like her more. So my job is to help Louisa come up with strategies on how to deal with rejection in a better way. Because after all, it happens to all of us from time to time. She brushed at her pants. I'm sure you wouldn't appreciate my kicking you for rejecting me for this job. She chuckled. Khan laughed with her.
I doubt you could harm me, but I get your point.
How good are you at working with others who have different viewpoints from you? I asked her. It feels like that's all I do, she smiled. Students often feel we should be doing something else, and I've developed ways of getting them on board. Yes, but what if this person were an adult? Kaya looked from me to Khan and back. Did Christina warn you about how stubborn I am? She held up a palm. It's really not that bad. And I'm working on it. It's just that when I know what I want, I argue for it, fiercely. Good, I said, positive that she would need that skill to stand her ground with Archer, who wasn't used to being challenged by a woman. We asked her more questions until Khan gave me a nod, telling me he was satisfied. Wonderful, Kaya. I believe we have heard all we need to hear. Would you like to see the building that is being turned into a school? Yes, very much. She clasped her hands together. Christina had been right. Boulder and his men had been very busy. The roof was torn off and currently being reconstructed to include the new addition that would tie the church and the side building together. With the new design, you wouldn't know this used to be a church until you walked into the vaulted church room. Christina and Kaya walked from room to room, arms linked together, and I smiled at the way they talked and pointed excitedly. I'd never had a close girlfriend like that. My focus on my work had come before my social life, and although I'd never felt lonely with all the people around me, what Kaya and Christina had was special, and I envied the two women their bond. From her papers, I knew Kaya was 26 and had been a teacher for 3 years. She specialized in children with behavioral problems, and her colleagues had nothing but praise for her. Seeing the two women walk around like that, I felt old with my 33 years. The responsibility on my shoulders weighed me down, and I couldn't remember having put myself first, ever. But what if I did? What if I didn't worry about anyone else? What would I want then? My eyes drifted to Khan, who was listening to Boulder explain about the shower facilities that were being installed in a few days. Khan stood tall and straight, his legs slightly spread, and his eyes shining with that intelligence that I found so intriguing. As if he could feel my eyes burning him, Khan looked up and locked eyes with me. A warm feeling spread in my core, and memories of his naked body made me flush red. With a quick excuse to Boulder, Khan strode toward me.
Is something wrong?
He asked softly. No, I'm just... I couldn't meet his eyes. I'm just thinking about what you said.
About what?
About wanting me to look into your eyes and hold your hands. I looked over my shoulder to make sure no one was watching us. Khan didn't seem to care one bit who saw us, and signaled for me to go on.
Did you see where Boulder wants to grow a vegetable garden? Christina called out to Magni, and to my relief, the others all went around the house and left Khan and me alone.
I'm very confused, I muttered.
About what?
About you, I started. About how I feel about you. Khan shifted his balance.
I'm listening.
I don't know how I feel. I lifted my gaze to meet his. That's the problem. I think that you and I live too much in our heads and we complicate things. At that moment, Christina's loud laughter sounded in the distance, followed by Boulder's deeper tones. I turned my head in their direction and looked back at Khan again. People like them make life look so easy, and I don't know how to do that, I said.
I might be a bit masculine for a woman. Khan scrunched up his face.
What the hell are you talking about? You're insanely feminine with your curves and your long hair.
No, I mean, being in control and always making decisions is my job. It has nothing to do with how I look. I sighed. It's hard for me to let go and just give in to my feelings. We all have masculine and female energies. You do too. His brows dropped.
Excuse me?
Never mind. I didn't want to explain to him what clearly would be hard for him to wrap his mind around. My mind gets in the way, is what I'm saying.
Your mind gets in your way?
Yes, like I'm overthinking things. I wasn't prepared when Khan took a step forward.
Come,
he said and took my hand.
I want to show you something.
What? I asked, but followed him into the woods. When we were out of view from the others, I pulled at his arm. What did you want to show me? Khan looked down at me, and with a slow grin spreading on his face, he stepped close.
You seem to be confused,
he whispered against my lips.
So I'm going to show you that I'm a man, and you're a woman.
Khan, my words were interrupted when he slid his hands around my behind and lifted me up from the ground, placing me astride his hips.
Don't think. Just let this happen, he said,
and carried me a few feet before he pressed me against a tree, kissing me hungrily and without apology. The others, I reminded him, panting from our kissing. They're going to look for us.
They won't disturb us.
He pressed a finger to my lips.
Don't think, and don't talk, unless you want to tell me how much you want me to fuck you.
My head wanted me to run, but my heart refused to listen. He had told me I was special to him, and I was done pretending that I didn't have feelings for him too, when the truth was I'd been thinking obsessively about Khan for weeks now. I felt rebellious, naughty, and free in that moment and asked him, "Are you sure you want this?" He pulled back to look at me.
Are you drunk? First you think I'm feminine and you're masculine, and then you question whether I want you.
I laughed louder, and Khan placed us on the ground atop some soft moss and leaves.
If the fact that I lured you away from the group wasn't a clue, then my hard cock pressing between your thighs should answer your question.
When Khan removed his shirt, I let my hands explore the feel of him. He was toned, ripped, and hard where I was soft. I'm getting used to your muscles, I said and pressed a kiss to one of his biceps.
Are you getting used to my beard, too?
He said, and nuzzled it against my neck. It scratches, I complained.
You're damn right it scratches,
he said and pulled my top off. Would you shave it off for me? His eyebrows flew up.
Shave off my beard?
I just want to see what you look like without it. Khan didn't answer but kicked off his pants.
I'm handsome with and without my beard, of course.
He winked and kissed me deeply, exploring my mouth while smoothly pushing down his briefs. Wait, I said. We should use protection. He squinted his eyes.
Where the hell would you get any here?
You can buy it in the Motherlands. There's a spray that creates a protective layer.
What for? All your men are infertile and STDs have been eradicated, right?
Yes, but people still use protection for hygienic purposes.
You're fucking weirdos.
Still, Khan, you're not a Motlander and you might get me pregnant. His smile grew bigger and he sat up, lifting me onto his lap to straddle him.
Don't overthink it, Pearl. If it happens, it happens.
With his dark eyes shining with lust, he engulfed me in his large arms and buried his head against the crook of my neck.
I want you to ride me like this,
he groaned, and I complied by lifting my butt a bit, letting the exquisite sensation fill me of Khan penetrating me, and his hard erection rubbing deliciously against my inner walls as I slowly glided down his long shaft. In that moment, I felt fabulously alive, and ignoring all the warnings in my head, I opened my eyes to feast on the sight of Khan devouring me with his mouth slightly open and his eyes hornier than I'd ever seen them.
You like that?
he muttered when I arched up and moaned. Yes, I whispered with my eyes half closed.
How much do you like it?
Khan asked and kept a steady, relentless, pleasurable pace.
Do you like it better than the other guys?
His tone was possessive, and he pushed harder and bit down on my earlobe. It wasn't enough to hurt badly, but definitely a marking of sorts. Are you punishing me? I asked.
Answer my question,
he said softly, circling his hips and filling me completely.
Were they better than me?
It was only one, I admitted, and lifted my hand to his neck. Khan pulled back and looked at me.
And was he better than me?
I'll tell you when we're done, I teased and pulled him in for a kiss. My words seemed to make him lose his mind, and he stopped moving. For a brief moment, I thought he would end what we were doing, but then his fingers began kneading my behind, and he suckled on my nipples. The tree provided only so much cover, and there was a real chance we could be seen if someone in our group came looking for us. But I was too far gone in Khan to care about the craziness of making love in broad daylight in a forest. Shave for me, I moaned and played with his beard, raising my hips up and down, and enjoying how perfect he felt inside of me.
Marry me,
he whispered back, and I stopped moving. What? I panted.
Marry me, Pearl.
Splaying his large hands across my breasts, down my belly and gripping around my waist tightly, he lifted me enough so he could control the pace. I whimpered in sweet agony when he pumped in and out with force and speed. Ah! I screamed out and felt him cover my mouth, but I couldn't hold back the waves of euphoria that washed over me when he continued to pump with speed, as if it were a sprint for bliss.
Fuck, you're killing me.
He made a strained sound and stopped. Don't stop, I pleaded, gripping his shoulders hard and biting my lips to avoid screaming out my ecstasy.
I want it to last,
he said, and held my hips still even though I was trying to create friction. His cock was throbbing inside me like a second heartbeat, and in my sex haze all I could think was, more, I want more. Leaning down, I kissed him, deep and demanding. This time I was the aggressor, sucking on his lips and drilling my fingers into his shoulders, never wanting to let go. He pushed me back, looking into my eyes with fierce determination.
Marry me, Pearl,
he said again. Why? He hammered into me in response, and I tilted my head back and let out another deep moan.
You wanted a union? I'm giving you all of me,
he said. No tournament?
Not a fucking chance.
Fisting his hands into my hair, Khan held me in a tight grip, pumping into my core and kissing me possessively. When he let go of me to breathe, my head was swirling and I knew one thing for certain. No sex bot could ever make me feel like this. Oh, you're better than anyone, I moaned and pushed my hands through his thick hair. Satisfaction shone in his eyes.
Say that again.
You're better than anyone, I repeated.
Pearl.
He slowed his pace and rolled me onto my back without pulling out of me. Uh-huh.
Don't overthink this. Just say yes.
But we don't know each other well enough to commit for life.
I know you. I've lived with you for 2 months, and I admire and desire you like no other.
No one marries anymore, Khan. It's not done.
In this country, we do.
But... He cut me off, distracting me with kisses and swallowing my orgasmic screams with his mouth. My whole body was shivering at the sheer intensity of his lovemaking. The first time he took me in that cabin might have been short, but this time he more than made up for it. When he pushed my legs above his shoulders, I remembered his words from the first time he'd masturbated with me in the room. He had thanked me for being flexible in his fantasy. Is this what you thought it would be like? I panted. But Khan was too far gone to answer. He clamped his eyes shut, leaned his head back and moaned.
I can't hold back anymore.
Then don't, I smiled, and watched as he pulled out and moved his hand up and down his shaft a few times until he ejaculated over my belly and chest.
Oh, fuck.
He panted, and held on to my bent knees.
It looks like a beautiful masterpiece,
he said, and smeared his semen around with a finger. What are you doing? I chuckled.
Marking my territory,
he said, and I'd never seen Khan looking more like a kid. You're serious about marrying? I asked.
Dead serious,
he said, and lay down next to me. But where would we live?
Here, of course. I'm the only ruler, while the motherlands have plenty others to cover for you.
It would be a scandal of epic proportions.
That we marry?
He turned his head and frowned at me. Yes, my people wouldn't understand. They would think I'd gone insane. My words made the carefree kid I had gotten to see a glimpse of disappear. Instead, Khan grew serious and his eyes darkened.
I don't want you to go back. If you're right, they might try to protect you from my influence and keep you from coming back here.
Yes, I nodded. I think they would.
You'll have to win them over from here.
I shook my head. That would take a miracle.
Don't overthink it. Just choose me.
I need time to think, Khan.
No.
He sat up and leaned his forehead against mine.
Pearl, I love you.
I sucked in a deep breath.
I know,
he whispered.
It scares me too. But it doesn't change the fact that I would go batshit crazy if you walked away now.
You're going too fast, I said to slow him down, but he wasn't listening.
What do I have to do to make you see that we're meant to be together?
He asked. Khan, I just need time. He let go of me and I started dressing, using leaves and moss to wipe off his sperm.
How can you be so cold?
He asked. I'm not being cold, but you're asking for a lot and I need time to process it.
It's too late to hide that we've slept together,
he said and looked back in the direction of the school. I know, I muttered.
Are you embarrassed?
Closing my pants and putting on my left shoe, I faced him. Khan was still sitting completely naked on the ground, watching me. Clearly, you matter a great deal to me, I said. I'm sorry that I'm not as quick to declare my love or agree to marry you, but if you're serious about this, then you'll give me time to process it. He looked away, and I could tell he felt rejected. In the motherlands, I said and reached my hand to him, pulling him up to stand in front of me. People don't marry, but some couples live together for a lifetime. Could we let that be enough?
No. I want you as my wife.
I wrapped my arms around his waist and placed my head against his chest. I'm not saying no, but I need time to think. He stiffened, so I continued. But I promise that I'll stay with you and take my time to figure out what I'm feeling. And tonight? I looked up at him. I'll sleep in your bed, and not on the sofa. The edges around his eyes softened and he planted a kiss on my forehead.
Thank you.
After Khan got dressed, we walked back hand in hand. The others were gone, but Magni had left his drone for us, which we took back to Boulder's place.
Did you go into the woods for an executive meeting?
Boulder teased when we joined them in the dining room where they were enjoying dinner.
You could say that.
Khan grinned and gave Boulder a hard squeeze on his shoulder when he passed him to take a seat.
You know there are predators in these forests, right?
Magni mumbled, and I had a feeling he was talking about me. Khan shrugged.
We didn't see any.
Christina was smiling widely and pointed discreetly to my hair, where a bit of moss was stuck.
Something you want to tell us, brother?
Magni asked. Khan looked at me, but I wasn't ready to make any announcement, and asked for the restroom instead.
We're just having some long talks about a possible union between our countries, and we got so involved in our discussions about our visions for the future that we wandered a bit far.
Khan explained behind me. Chapter 17 Freedom. Pearl. It was an odd feeling to walk around the Grey Manor freely and to see the guards step aside, no longer under orders to keep me in Khan's room. We had slept together last night,
and I was pumped with oxytocin, endorphin, serotonin, and other happy hormones after the best sex of my life. With a smile plastered on my lips, I walked out to meet Christina and Kaya in the park where breakfast had been arranged for us. "You look absolutely radiant," Christina said and took my hands. "Thank you. I did sleep well last night. That must be it," I answered, not revealing anything but knowing they probably guessed it anyway. I moved on to take Kaya's hands before I sat down with a raging appetite and filled my plate. "Thank you so much for making a stop here on your way back," I told Kaya.
"My pleasure. It's fun to see the palace."
I looked back at the Gray Manor. This is actually modest compared to Mr. Zobel's place on the East Coast. He's the richest man in the country and a collector of money and possessions.
"I can't imagine something bigger than this," Kaya said sweetly.
"Did you have a chance to look over the list I gave you?" I asked her.
"Uh-huh,"
she said with a nod and popped a grape in her mouth. "Tell me, which of the children do you think would make the best candidates?"
"It's hard to say without meeting them, but there are three that I want for sure."
"Yes?" "You told me Willow was your choice, and I agree. But there's also a girl called Raven that I want." Kaya's eyes lit up.
"She's not on the list, but I teach her in my school, and I know her mother would let her come with me."
"Why?"
"Raven and I are very close, and her mom has spent half her life in places of reflection because of mental problems. The last time she went in, she asked me if I wanted to adopt Raven since she didn't feel like a fit mother."
"But you didn't?"
"No, I said I would think about it."
"And the girl, is she well?" I asked.
"She has issues," Kaya said. "I won't lie. But she also has the potential to become a councilwoman or grow up to invent something amazing. She reminds me of you."
"Me?"
I said, a hand to my chest.
"Yes, she's a warrior."
I laughed. "I'm a pacifist, Kaya, not a warrior."
"You just fight with your words, and you're really good at it.
It's in your nature to move to the forefront and stand guard with nothing but your body, your bravery, and your words as a protector of your people."
I was flattered and smiled.
"You honor me."
"But it's true, isn't it? You would give up your life to save another, wouldn't you?"
"Yes."
I didn't even hesitate. Christina bit her lip.
"I might have told Kaya about what you did for Athena, but only because it was so admirable."
"Raven is like that too," Kaya said softly. "She has greatness in her, and I'm not going to leave her behind."
"I understand, but I worry about your attachment to her. Kids can feel if you have favorites."
"I promise not to treat her differently than my other students."
"I know we're asking a lot of you. So I'll grant you this wish if you can get permission from Raven's mother."
"Thank you," Kaya said. "The other two are Victoria and Patty Jo Hosey."
"Patty Jo?" I tasted the name. "It's a peculiar name."
"Yes, according to her papers, she's called Paisy for short."
"Is she the one who survived the hurricane?"
"No, that was Victoria. That little girl was the only survivor when her parenting unit was hit a few months ago. I'd say she's a prime candidate."
Christina moved in her chair.
"If you're only bringing in troubled children who are grieving and broken, then how are you going to make this project succeed?"
"Sometimes it's easier to reshape a child from a broken place," I said.
"But not always," Kaya added. "I, too, worry about this. But if this is what we have to work with, then we'll do it."
"So that makes Willow, Raven, Victoria, and Paisy. But at least three of them are already 12 years old."
"Four, actually. Raven is turning 12 in a few months," Kaya said.
"We'll need some younger girls as well.
Mila and Nikki are the youngest on the list. They both just turned 10, Kaya said, studying the list that her wristband projected.
"We'll take them," I said, and summed it up quickly, counting on my fingers. "Willow, Raven, Victoria, Paisy, Nikki, and Mila. We need two more girls and two boys."
"Can I study the list some more before we decide on the last four?" Kaya asked.
"Of course, but I'll give the six names to the council and ask them to prepare for the children's departure."
"When will they be coming?" Kaya asked.
"As soon as the school is ready and you're all set."
"I'll be back here before the 1st of August.
Actually, I said, choosing my words carefully, we would like for you to come earlier and meet with a man called Archer. He's a mentor here, and he and you will work together to prepare a curriculum that connects teachings from the Northlands with teachings from the Motherlands. As you can imagine, Khan isn't interested in having his boys conform with the Motlanders, so he has appointed Archer to work with you. All right? Archer is the cute one that I told you about. Christina wiggled her eyebrows. But what is his role exactly? Kaya asked. He's a mentor and he trains boys in this age group. He can tell you all you need to know about schooling in the Northlands.
Okay, Kaya said slowly. I suppose I could come back sooner.
How about you go home, pack your stuff, and come back next week? I suggested. Christina could hardly stay in her seat for excitement. You and Raven can stay at our house until the school is ready. A hearty laugh escaped her. Boulder is going to be over the moon when he meets a girl for the first time. Kaya looked thoughtful, but then a smile grew on her face. All right, I think I can make it work. With that settled, my day couldn't get any better.
Khan, you asked her to marry you? My brother, Finn, and Boulder were in my office, and Magni was pacing the floor. And what did she say? That she would think about it. Ouch. Finn wrinkled his nose like he'd just taken a punch. She just needs a little time. Pearl is a thinker, I elaborated. I'm confident that she'll say yes. Congratulations, man. I'm happy for you. Boulder grinned and patted my shoulder. You're happy for him? Magni stopped and widened his eyes at Boulder. A momsie has my brother by the balls and you're fucking happy for him? Relax, Magni, Finn told him. Pearl isn't Laura. No, and that's lucky for her, because if Laura was out in that garden right now, I would fucking drag her to our room and spank her ass red for running away. Yeah, I'll bet you would, Finn arched his brows. I always knew you were a little kinky. You know Pearl wants us all to conform and be sweet mumsy boys, right? Magni ranted. Do I look like a boy to you? I pulled back my shoulders, making my chest wide. It's no fucking joke, Magni huffed out. I don't trust her. Why? She has a high level of integrity, or she couldn't be on the council, Boulder pointed out, but Magni snorted back at him. I know she's been lying to me, so I don't really think much of her so-called integrity. I shot Magni a warning glance. Actually, I've seen her lie, Finn said thoughtfully and folded his arms, but only to save my ass. When? I narrowed my eyes. When did she save your ass? Not important. I'm merely saying that she's capable of lying, that's all. When? I slammed my fist down and stared at Finn. He scrunched up his face. When she said we were holding our breaths, he admitted. I was at his throat before he could finish saying, "Nothing happened." Why were you out of breath that day? I growled and twisted his shirt in my fist. Did you touch her?
I tickled her to see if she would squeal.
You tickled my woman? My voice was seething.
I thought you were going to make me her protector. Why else would you ask that she fly with me? I thought you didn't want her anymore.
Boulder moved between us. Calm down, Khan. I know you're upset right now, but Finn isn't a threat to you. Pearl isn't interested in him or anyone else but you. We're just trying to establish if she's trustworthy. I let go of Finn and took a step back. Nobody touches her, I ordered.
Of course not,
they all agreed, and for a few moments no one spoke. I think, Boulder said, that you should see Finn's admission as a sign of loyalty. We all like Pearl, but our loyalty lies with you. I never said I liked her, Magni muttered. I'm not asking you to, I replied. Besides, I already knew she was capable of lying, or at least bending the truth. We all witnessed that in the bar.
Right, so you know you can't fucking trust her,
Magni pointed out again. I trust that she only lies when it's to protect others. That makes her predictable, and I can work with that. You want a wife who lies to you? Magni asked incredulously. Is there a wife in this world that doesn't? I asked matter-of-factly. And before you answer that question, ask yourself if there's a husband in this world who doesn't lie, yourself included. I think everybody lies sometimes, Boulder interjected. This morning I told Christina I was considering cutting down on meat. That's a lie. That time when I told you guys I shot the grizzly? Finn frowned and leaned against the bookshelf. It was actually dead when I found it. I fucking hate bears. They scare the shit out of me. What the hell is this, confession day? Magni sputtered. The women are turning you into mush. What's next? He pointed to Finn. You want us to start a fucking book club and discuss poetry or what? No, Finn gave an offended snort. I hate poetry more than I hate bears. But if you want, we could have a porn club and discuss our favorite scenes, he grinned. I'm going for a beer, and you three better grab deep in your pants to make sure you still have any balls left, Magni scoffed and slammed the door shut after him. Fucking prickly bastard, Finn mouthed at the door. You think he's got his period or something? He asked us. Nah, he's just protective of me, I said and shrugged it off. It's cute.
Chapter 18 Spanking Pearl Whistling with happiness from my passionate night with Khan and my great conversation with Kaya and Christina, I walked back toward the manor to call my mother for an update. But when I rounded a corner, all the wind was knocked out of me as I bumped straight into Magni.
Look where you're going,
he scolded me. I'm sorry, I said politely.
No, you're not.
He shot me a hateful glance that made my blood freeze cold. Why do you hate me so much? The question bypassed all my inner filters and just flew out of me. He scoffed.
Isn't it obvious?
Magni was the larger of the brothers, both in height and body mass. Looming over me with a deep scowl, he continued.
Every time I see you, I'm reminded that Laura hasn't been returned. I fucking hate seeing you, Pearl.
There was no right answer to that, and I looked down.
When you first came, he said, I was sure the Momsies would want you back badly enough to return my wife to me. But maybe your people just took it as an opportunity to plant a spy in our midst, someone to influence us and change the way we do things.
His tone was low and threatening.
How convenient that my brother decided to protect you himself, and how easy for you to blind him with your beauty.
He made a small laugh, and I backed up when he came too close, my heart hammering when I felt the wall behind me. He had me trapped.
The council must be so proud of you, now that you've turned the big, bad ruler of the Enmen into your lovesick puppet.
He's not a puppet.
Then why do you string him along?
Magni's blue eyes were stormy.
That's right. He told me about his proposal, and how you're letting him dangle in the hope that you'll say yes.
He held up a hand, imitating dangling a string. I'm a brave warrior. Empowered by Kaya's words in the garden that I was a warrior, I stood my ground and spoke calmly. A proposal of marriage isn't something you just say yes to. Let me ask you this, Magni. Would you give up your country, your mother, your friends, and your place by your brother's side to join Laura in the Motherlands?
What?
He drew in his brows. How much do you love her? If Laura wanted you, but asked that you move there and give up everything, could you answer her without thinking it through?
Laura wouldn't ask that,
he said and pulled back a little. But if she did? Try to see things from my side. I didn't come here to fall in love. I came to save Athena. I know that my people will grieve and think I've lost my mind if I give up everything to be with Khan.
I should think they would be delighted,
he said, and this time less confrontationally. I wish, but sadly, no, I sighed. They don't know that Enmen can be wonderful and warm. All they know are horror stories. I can't tell you how much I cried before coming here. And then when the first person I met was you and you kept pushing me, I thought all the stories were true. Magni was staring at me intensely. I don't blame you for hating me, or for associating me with the absence of Laura. It makes sense. But to be honest, you are one of the things holding me back from saying yes to marrying Khan. He pulled back a little more.
Me?
Your hating me isn't a nice feeling, and I don't want to come between you and Khan. Do you know how many times I've been warned to stay away from you?
Who warned you?
He said and tensed up. Everybody. I leaned my head back to meet his eyes. You're a giant, Magni, and an angry one at that. You're intimidating and threatening, and the thought of living here with you as a looming shadow of hatred doesn't excite me.
You hate me too,
he said as if it was a fact. My response was firm. No, I don't. If anything, I sympathize and wish there was something I could do to help you. He hissed at me.
There is, you just won't do it.
Watching Magni walk away, an idea popped into my head. Maybe...
What?
Magni stopped and let me catch up to him. What if the reason Laura hasn't returned is that she's scared that you'll be furious at her? Maybe you could record a message saying that she can come back safely and that you'll forgive her for leaving in the first place.
How would that help when you insist that you and the council don't know where she is?
He said, voice dripping with sarcasm.
You do realize that for someone supposedly smart, you're incredibly stupid for revealing that you're able to get a message to Laura.
I took a deep breath. The council would never force her to go back.
But you always knew where she was, didn't you?
I bowed my head and gathered my strength before I looked at him. Yes. But Laura doesn't want to go back. I'm giving you a chance to convince her that you're not angry and that she can come home without fear. Maybe that will make her change her mind. Magni's eyes grew stormy.
I'm not going to beg her to come back, and I would be fucking lying if I said that I'd forgiven her.
But you wouldn't punish her, would you? I asked, unnerved.
I'm pretty sure I would.
Magni said and walked on.
And I'm damn sure that she deserves it.
Khan. What does he mean when he says he would punish Laura? Pearl asked me. Magni wouldn't beat her, would he? Not severely, I said, to calm her down. Has he ever raised his hand to Laura? Is that why she ran off? That's not why she ran. But has he beaten her? No, I said firmly, and drew a sigh. But he might have spanked her. Spanked her? Pearl exclaimed in a high pitch and looked horrified. It's not as bad as it sounds, I hurried to say. We've all been spanked as children, and it's normal for husbands to discipline their wives in certain situations. Pearl looked like she had just swallowed a fly and sputtered, If you or Boulder ever lay a hand on me or Christina, I swear I'll... I was amused by her tantrum since I'd never seen her so upset. You what? I asked and smiled. There is nothing to smile about, she scolded me, but I was so turned on by her feistiness that I moved closer and reached for her. I'll raise hell, she said and pushed my hand away. If you ever spank me, I'll raise hell and you'll regret it. But I can still do this, right? I grabbed her ass and squeezed it tightly. Give me your word that you'll never spank me if I marry you, she told me. I buried my head against her neck and nibbled at her earlobe. You're so damn sexy when you're mad. Khan, I'm serious. So am I. I backed her to the bed and pulled my shirt over my head. You've got me all hard for you. You're always hard for me. Is that a complaint? I teased and pulled her around, bending her over the bed. No, but you're not listening to me. I'm listening, I said, and pulled up the long dress she had on. You won't allow me to spank you when we're married. You need to promise that you never will. I squatted down, wanting to bite into her lovely round ass. Uh-huh, I muttered, kissing it and kneading it. Can I bite your ass, though? I asked and gently bit her.
No, you can't bite me either, she said, appalled.
Not even like this? I did it again, and she arched back. My hand slid up and down her thighs and ass, and hungrily I turned her around, pulling off her dress to admire her naked body.
If I marry you, I want you to respect me and be gentle to me.
I respect you, I said mischievously, but I don't think you really want me to be gentle. Before she could protest, I pushed her down to sit on the bed. If you wanted gentle, I said and opened my pants, you would have hooked up with a man back home. She was looking up at me, her mouth slightly open, her pupils dilated. You don't want gentle, Pearl. You want me. She swallowed hard and didn't protest when I lifted her thighs and lowered myself inside her. The bed was the perfect height for me to stand up and take her. Pearl leaned back, supporting herself on her elbows, her eyes fixed on my cock sliding in and out of her. Play with your tits, I told her, and almost came when she did. You're fucking beautiful, I moaned and pushed hard inside her, then out. Turn around. She did as told, and I couldn't resist slapping my cock against her ass.
What are you doing? She asked.
I'm spanking you with my cock, I teased. You said I couldn't spank you when we're married, so I wanted to make sure I did it before.
That's not spanking, she said. It doesn't hurt.
No? Then what about this? I gave her a quick slap with my palm, and she jerked.
You're a beast, she said, and looked back at me with fire in her eyes.
I grinned. I know, but I'm your beast. Pearl couldn't hide her smile. That's right, babe. You can pretend to be a good girl all you want, but I know differently, I whispered, and drove into her hard and deep. I took her in every position I'd fantasized about over the 2 months she had slept on my sofa, and yanked her hair back in a tight hold when we came together in a powerful orgasm. When we lay panting on the bed afterwards, I played with her long blonde hair, rolling it around my finger. Pearl.
Yeah?
You know you'll say yes, right? She lifted her head and looked at me.
What makes you so sure?
Because of how I feel when I'm with you. If you feel even remotely the same, then you have no choice, I concluded.
It's crazy, she said softly.
Yeah, and amazing at the same time.
But what if it doesn't last?
We'll make it last. Brushing strands of hair from her face, I stared into her eyes. I love you.
I think I love you, too, she said seriously.
Then marry me, I asked again, and saw her eyes get wet. You would make me the happiest man alive.
But couldn't we call it something else?
Like what?
Like a joining or a partnership, I don't know.
I cupped her face. Marriage is a partnership and a joining.
Con... I really do want to be with you, she whispered. But could we keep it secret?
No. I want the whole world to see how lucky I am that the brightest, kindest, and most beautiful female chess player in the world is mine.
Why did you have to add female to that sentence?
Because I'm still the best overall. She laughed.
You sure about that?
Confident.
Then that's our solution. We'll play, and this time your prize will be my hand in marriage. But if I win...
Waiting for her to finish, my heart was beating a million times per second.
If I win, she said, we'll live together as partners.
I hesitated.
What's wrong? I thought you said you're the better chess player, she said challengingly.
I am, but this is too important to me to put on the line.
So, you're not going to play me?
No, I'm not. But I am going to marry you. Not because of some bet or game, but because I crave you and love you. Pearl's resistance was melting. I could tell by the way she smiled and pulled me in for a hug.
"You'd better be worth giving up everything for," she whispered in my ear. Closing my eyes in relief, I hugged her tightly and soaked in the feeling of her body against mine, the scent of her perfume, and the sound of her breathing in my ear. I never wanted to forget the feeling of gratitude that I felt in that moment. Slowly I let go to meet her eyes. "So it's a yes?" I asked. "Yes." She smiled and broke into a hearty grin when I raised both hands in a sign of victory.
Chapter 19. Why? Pearl. Nervousness rippled through me like waves when I met my mother in the virtual reality office that we had met in so often during my time here in the Northlands. Normally I enjoyed meeting her, but this time I had news for her that I knew she wouldn't like. "Hello, Pearl." She gave me a warm smile and moved to take my hands when she stopped. "What's wrong?" "Mom," I said softly and forced myself to just spit it out. "I've decided to stay."
"What do you mean?"
"I'm no longer a hostage, but I'm choosing to stay." Her hands dropped and her forehead furrowed.
"For how long?"
It was hard to meet her eyes, knowing that my decision would tear her heart out, but I owed it to her and I took a deep breath before I answered softly. "Lord Colin and I love each other." She shook her head lightly as if not understanding.
"What are you saying?"
"Mom." I placed my hand on her upper arms. "I don't expect you to understand, but Colin makes me really happy. He's my match in so many ways."
"You don't know what you're saying."
Her eyes were big and round.
"He's a man of the North, a carnivore, and a dictator who controls and oppresses his people. You have nothing in common with him."
"We have our differences, but he's intelligent, protective, kind, and he makes me laugh and feel wildly alive."
Straightening up, my mother sharpened her voice. "You are a councilwoman. Your obligation is to our people. What you're doing is selfish and childish."
I looked down, knowing that she was right.
"I want you to come back and report to the council," she said firmly.
"No." I lifted my face. "If I come back, I won't see him again. We both know that." She was quiet for a moment.
"He has brainwashed you, Pearl. You need to come back and get your thoughts in order. What you feel is an infatuation, but with some distance, you'll be able to think rationally again."
"I'm not being forced, Mom."
"Maybe not, but you're being manipulated. He wants not you, but the influence you come with."
"What influence? Staying here will make me lose everything," I argued. My mother wrung her hands and her voice rose slightly.
"Then why would you stay?"
"Because my heart is here with him."
"No."
Isabel held up a hand as if to shield herself from my words.
"I don't believe you, and I demand that you come home to discuss this."
"I can't."
"You're no longer a hostage. You can come home now."
"No, not unless you guarantee that I can return to Khan. Will you give me that guarantee?" Isabel spun her back to me and spoke softly.
"This conversation has me deeply troubled. I will have to involve the council, and will expect you home immediately to explain yourself."
I didn't get a chance to reply before she disappeared, ending the conversation. Sighing, I exited too. Doubt filled my mind, and fear that the school project would be canceled because of me. "I told her," I said softly when I found Khan in his study. He looked up at me and opened his arms when he saw my devastated expression.
"Come here,"
he said, and pulled me down on his lap. "She's summoning the council," I whispered, and leaned against him.
"You expected her to do that much, didn't you?"
"Uh-huh." I heaved my heavy chest.
"I'm sorry that being with me is causing you pain,"
Khan said, and caressed my hair.
"But I'm afraid this is just the beginning."
"You're right." Khan and I weren't naive or stupid. We had already spoken about the different scenarios that could happen. But theory was one thing. Seeing the disappointment in my mother's eyes was completely different. "She wants me to come back and explain myself to the council," I said softly.
And what did you tell her?
That I wanted a guarantee that I could return.
Did she give it to you?
No. Khan tightened his grip around my waist and pulled me closer to his chest.
Then I'm not letting you go.
I stiffened. It's not your choice. His breath was in my ear and his body was throwing off heat. I didn't have to turn my head to see his jaw clench. I'll listen to you, of course, I said to calm him. But ultimately, I make my own decisions, and that will not change.
Yes, it will. When those decisions affect me, I want a say in them, he said,
and I could tell he was holding back the frustration he felt. I pulled free from his hold. If we're lucky, the council will see it as a good thing that we're together and let me go without problems. I hope they do.
But,
he said, forcing me to say the more realistic alternative. But we should prepare ourselves for a strong reaction.
Khan. The next morning, a message arrived from the border with a video for me. Not Pearl, me. I cursed, low, that we were back to the medieval days of passing messages back and forth. Since I hadn't been able to sleep much anyway, I was up early and watched the message without Pearl. It wasn't her mother Isabel speaking, but a woman with very unflattering drooping eyes.
Lord Khan, my name is Councilwoman Leah, and this message is to inform you that the Council is very disturbed to hear of Pearl's relationship with you.
She spoke softly, but with a voice bearing indignation.
We demand to see Pearl returned safely within 2 days, or we'll be forced to close down the borders and ban all trade between our nations.
Fuck. I gave a low groan and rubbed my face.
Your deadline is the 1st of August at 12 p.m., Councilwoman Leah said, and ended with a greeting that pissed me off. May peace remain, and may both our nations prosper.
I grabbed the first thing on my desk and threw it across the room with a roar of internal pain. An hour later, Pearl was still sleeping, but Boulder, Finn, and Magni were in my office. Just send her back, Magni said pragmatically. You said it yourself, no woman is worth starting a war over. They're not declaring war on us, I corrected him. Magni scoffed. Of course they are. There's no way we can let them run us like little powerless schoolboys. They're keeping our boys, and we can't accept that. I say we gather our forces and start fucking with them. Literally? Finn asked with a surprised expression, but didn't get an answer. What are our options? Boulder asked, and spread his elbows out, placing both hands behind his neck. Maybe Pearl can convince them to see it her way. She's fucking brilliant at that shit. Remember when she spoke to Edward and his followers that night? That's different, I pointed out. I doubt the Council will be as impressed with her words as Edward and his friends were. They shouldn't be allowed to force her home if she wants to stay with you, Finn said in support of me. What did Pearl say? Boulder asked. She hasn't seen the video yet, and I really don't want to show it to her. Why not? Finn asked. Because she's going to think of everyone but herself, she always does. All three men stood silent and troubled.
You think she'll go to keep the peace? Finn concluded.
Of course she will, Boulder said. Unless it's just a big fat plot to fool us, Magni muttered low. I rolled my eyes, but he still spoke up. Think about it. They planted a spy among us, and what better way to make her look innocent than to force her back? She'll go back to make it look like she needs to convince them that she truly loves you, and you'll welcome her back with open arms and tell her all our secrets. You've got to hand it to them for their ingenuity. Finn stared from Magni to me.
He has a point. I once saw a movie about a female spy that was trained to seduce men and kill them.
Pearl isn't a spy, and her mission isn't to kill me, I exclaimed in annoyance.
But is she a council member? I mean, what do we really know about her?
Yes, she's a fucking council member, I raised my voice.
Enough with your crazy conspiracy theories. Christina knew Pearl as a council member before she came here.